I wanted to begin this interview with the question of the idea. Where did it come from? And because quite early in the movie, you give something to the audience, and the audience wouldn't watch the movie the same way if he didn't had that piece of information.
So, I mean, the whole thing probably very obviously like started with my love of Agatha Christie. And I grew up reading her books, and I grew up watching the movies based on her books, specifically the ones where Peter Ustinov plays Poirot. To me, those movies were on TV all the time when I was a kid, and they had an all-star cast. They had all these movie stars. They felt very glamorous. They had this fun sense of self-awareness, but they still were very good mysteries. And in many ways, Knives Out, that was kind of the target that I was aiming for, was what those movies did. And then in terms of the construction of it, I had the basic idea about 10 years ago for the construction of it, and I've kind of been chewing on it since then. And yeah, the idea was sort of, I mean, it kind of started with me just thinking about whodunits and thinking about, I do kind of agree with Hitchcock that the potential weakness of a whodunit is in the middle section where it's just gathering clues, waiting for the big surprise at the end. So the basic construction was, how do I get the mechanics of a Hitchcock thriller into the guts of a whodunit, but still have all the pleasures of a whodunit? And that was kind of the, you know, what led me to the way that the movie is constructed.
How did you keep control on all the elements of the story? Because it's a kind of story with a lot of things going on, a lot of puzzle pieces. Did you have a certain method to keep control on all of that?
Yeah. I mean, I always write very structurally. I write in small notebooks so that I can see the whole page at once. And I always start with the whole arc of the movie. I need to know the shape of the whole thing before I can write. And so that makes it, I don't know. For me, it was planning that out and planting where everything goes. That takes a lot of work, but it actually wasn't the hardest part. The hardest part was making sure that even with doing all that, that there were characters that track through, and more importantly, I wanted it to be satisfying at the end on a layer beyond the puzzle snapping into place. I wanted there to be a protagonist. It gets back to the Hitchcock thing. You know, I wanted there to be the feeling you got at the end of, you know, The 39 Steps or The Wrong Man, where there's a character who's threatened that you care about, who you have an emotional attachment to.
The film speaks definitely for your love for the genre, although with a little twist on it. Would you go as far as calling it a pastiche?
No, actually, and it's funny, I'm rereading Agatha Christie's books right now. I'm going back and chronologically rereading them. And if you revisit them, it's so funny how the genre, even in the golden age of whodunits in the 20s, in the 30s, it was self-aware. And the genre itself has always had an element of self-awareness to it. And even in the earliest whodunits, the earliest Agatha Christie's, or there's, A.A. Milne wrote a mystery called, I think it's called The Mystery of the Red House in the 20s. And they're constantly referencing other detective novels in it. There's always a character in it who's like, this seems like a scene from a detective novel. It always has that cheeky self-awareness. And beyond that, Agatha Christie, she was, you know, one of her earlier books, The Murder of Roger Ackroyd, has a twist in it that is so meta and so self-aware that many readers at the time were very upset about it and thought she was cheating. So for me, it's not really a send-up of that. It's trying to get at the heart of what she was actually doing, which was consistently trying to take the audience by surprise and take them off guard, you know?
Knives Out differs with the other movies of this genre with its humor. How did you balance that?
Well, that was really important to me. I mean, for me, it goes back to, I don't know, for me, it does go back to kind of what I love about, again, about those the Ustinov movies. Those, to me, had that sense of humor to them. And I find Poirot to be a very comic character. I feel like the best portrayals of him, I don't know, I love it. So for me, it's bringing my own sense of humor, trying to capture what I find entertaining about the genre, I suppose. But that was something that was always really important to me, was that tonally this was not, I feel like Agatha Christie adaptations go wrong when they get too serious. I feel like they have to have that kind of self-aware sense of fun. And I knew I wanted this movie to be fun. I knew that I wanted this to be a big entertainment. You know, that was part of the appeal of making it for me. So that was at the heart of it.
When you wrote the script, how did you build the comedy into it?
Well, you start, I don't know, you start with building the story, and you start with building the emotional through lines and figure out what is actually going to carry the audience through. And it's not like you add jokes on top of that. There is hopefully humor that's sort of built in on a deeper level in terms of the situation. That's always my favorite kind of humor, is, you know, when a character is in a situation that by its very nature is funny, you know, and that usually means making life very hard on the character, you know, like Marta's condition that she has, you know, to lying. I mean, it's funny, but it's funny because it is the one thing that is the worst possible thing she could have considering the position she's in. So to me, that's always where the best humor comes from.
How about Daniel Craig's accent?
It was written in the script that he would have a southern accent, and he and I worked together to figure out what region that would be from and what that would sound like, because there are obviously many different types of southern accents. And I wanted something that was pleasing to the ear. I wanted something that was like a drawl as opposed to twangy. So yeah, I think I sent him reference of, there's this historian, Shelby Foote, who has a Mississippi accent, and I sent him reference of that. And so, yeah, no, but he dove into it, man. He loved it. He was, for him, I think it was, I think you can, I know I can tell when I watch the movie how much fun he's having, and that was really the case when he was doing it. I think, obviously, he's terrific as James Bond, and he loves playing that part, but I think he really relished the opportunity to cut loose in a big way with this.
Was there any room for improvisation?
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, not a lot, because it is a jigsaw puzzle. And also because he's, you know, he and I went through the script, and I'm always looking for lines to tweak or cut if it's not clear or it's easier to say a different way. So we did tweaking, but, you know, he's also very, you know, he's a very trained actor, and so he came very prepared. It wasn't just winging it on the day. Most of the improv in the script happened from when the family was all fighting with each other, people throwing out ad-lib lines of, like, shouting insults at each other, and that was very fun, yeah.
You said that the writing wasn't the hardest part of your job on the movie, so what was the hardest, actually?
Oh, the writing was the hardest part. Yeah, absolutely. But the aspect of the writing the mystery wasn't the hardest part. Writing the, making sure that, first of all, having that big a cast of characters and making sure everyone got their moment, that was tricky. And also making sure that there was an emotional through line that was going to feel satisfying with the ending, so that it wasn't just an intellectual payoff, but you also felt a little satisfaction beneath that. That was the harder part of it.
Could you elaborate a bit over the casting process?
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, it was, you know, it was always my intent to have an all-star cast with this. After I wrote the script, I think I said that let's get the biggest movie stars we can to be in this movie, just because that was part of the whodunits that I loved growing up all had that sense of, like, this is a big show, and that seemed really fun to me. So we got Daniel Craig first. He signed on first. I had met him a few times over the years, and we liked each other and wanted to work together. And I think, like I said before, he was keen to have fun with a role like this. And then once we got him, first of all, everybody wants to work with Daniel Craig, so I think that attracted the actors a lot. But also it was very good, actually, that he had a very specific window of time that he could work in. Yeah. He had, before he started the next James Bond movie. So we had to put the movie together very fast. I think that actually helped us get these actors, because it wasn't like, oh, we're trying to shoot sometime next year. It was like, no, can you show up in 3 weeks in Boston and shoot this movie with us? Yeah.
Is making Knives Out more funny than making a Star Wars movie?
No, it's so different. I mean, not at all. I mean, making a Star Wars movie was the best experience of my life, I think. I have a feeling I'll be on my deathbed and still feel that way. I don't know. For someone who loves Star Wars since they were five, everything about it, writing it, making it, putting it out, interacting with the fans, the whole thing has been, the net effect of it has been just a wonderful experience. So, but this was fun in a totally different way. I mean, it was, you know, again, I think you can see on screen how much fun we were having when we were making it. And there was something really nice about, you know, there was something quite nice about just going off to a little corner of Massachusetts, to this house in the middle of the country in Massachusetts, getting a bunch of great actors together and just doing a little whodunit. And how fast we did it, I think that felt really nice to just say, okay, we're not going to be precious. We're just going to make this thing.
You're very present on social media, especially Twitter. Does this interaction influence you as a writer or a director?
I mean, I'm sure it probably does. I mean, a lot of the, I don't know. I mean, because yes, but it also kind of, I don't know, a big part of what seemed interesting about making this movie was taking the whodunit and really plugging it into 2019. And so a lot of the things that are current about it, like the fact that there's an internet troll as one of the characters, and that to me was very much sort of just, okay, that's what Agatha Christie was doing back in the day. She was very much creating characters that were, she was plugged into British society of her time, and she was creating characters that were of her time. And the idea of, if we're going to do a new one, let's not just have, you know, Colonel Mustard, but give him a cell phone. Let's create a character that is a type that could only exist today. And so you have the, you know, Instagram influencer, and you have the troll, and you have, you know. So, I think that, for me, that's kind of more where it came from. And a lot of the, you know, a lot of the political stuff that manifests online, that, I don't know, that more comes from real life for me. I have, you know, I know people across the political spectrum that I'm very close to and in my life, and I've had lots of arguments over the past few years, and most of that stuff in the movie comes from my personal experience. I don't engage much politically online. I mostly talk about movies online. So, that comes more from that.
Was there anything that you wrote or shot that didn't work while editing or at a screening test?
We didn't cut much out of the movie, but there were three or four scenes that we did cut. It wasn't because the scenes didn't work. I think they were actually really, it was painful to cut them because I think they're really good scenes. We'll put them like in the deleted scenes. But what happens is you put the whole thing together, and even if the scenes are good, you realize they're slowing the movie down here, or if they're not absolutely necessary to the story, you try and cut anything that isn't absolutely necessary. There's a great scene with Ricky Lindholm, who plays Michael Shannon's wife in it. There's a terrific scene with her and Benoit Blanc that I had to cut out. I was very disappointed. There's a great Toni Collette scene with Toni and Daniel that's fabulous that I had to cut. So there's a couple good deleted scenes to look forward to.
Are there any other movie genres that you want to do?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I would love to do. I just taught my cousin Nathan, who did the music for the movie, he's here, and we were just talking about doing a musical. Yeah, it's something that I would love to do as a musical someday. But no, so many of the movies I love growing up are genre movies, you know. The one genre I don't think I could do well, or that I've never really been tempted to do, is horror. I think maybe because I didn't watch much horror when I was growing up, and I have very good friends who are amazing horror directors, and I don't know if I have what it takes to make a good horror movie. So that's one genre I might never attempt. But or maybe, I don't know, maybe that means I should try it. I don't know.
Did you have the feeling that you were more playful with the camera?
Well, I always try, but the camera stuff is always, like, Knives Out is pretty straightforward, I think, in terms of the cat. Like, to me, it was, Knives Out is such a dialogue movie. It's such an actor's dialogue movie that the camera, for me, its main job is just to give the actors a stage to work on. So, as opposed to Looper, where it was much more about visual stylization, with this, it's much more about, you know, just... Mm-hmm. getting everybody in interest. I took a look at Michael Curtiz movies for blocking and saw how, because in those older films, they would have like three or four characters talking at once, and they would always find a way of framing it. It's less about the framing, it's more about the blocking. That was my big lesson with this movie, is how, or looking at how Spielberg blocks. You know, it's less about cool shots and what the camera's doing. It's more about where the characters are at in the frame and how they're positioned talking to each other, and when they move, how they readjust. That was more what I was focused on with this one.
The name of Daniel Craig's character is kind of a tribute to Hercule Poirot.
De Poirot. Oh. Well, he's Belgian. Yeah, he's not French. Yeah. I don't know. I guess a little bit. I mean, I had a French tutor. His French first name was Benoit, and so I liked that. And then his last name, Blanc, I liked having a last name that Americans would mispronounce, because that's a little tip to Poirot. You know, Hercules parrots, you know, they're always saying so. So the fact that Toni Collette could call him Mr. Blank, I thought was quite nice. So, yeah, I guess a little bit, yeah.
Is it a character that you could do multiple movies with?
If people go see this, I mean, Daniel and I had so much fun doing this.
You'd be open for that.
If we could get together over a few years and make a new mystery, I would be thrilled. And also, it's so malleable. You know, there's so much you can, a different setting, different plot mechanics, different theme. You could just whole new cast. You could have a lot of fun, you know, yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys. It was fun.